my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother. At the turn of the millennium, Time magazine carried as its cover story an article entitled Jesus of Nazareth, Then and Now. Now remember the timing of this article. It's the end of the old millennium, the beginning of the new. And so it's a crucial article. The article was written by a prolific novelist by the name of Reynolds Pryce. And it was an attempt to take another look at Jesus, his life, and almost, as it were, compose a new gospel based on historical evidence and his own personal reading of the Bible. One of the observations that Price makes in the beginning is that a useful way of recalling the past two millennia is to list the people who acquired great power and people who had great influence in the history of the world. So for example, there's Prophet Muhammad, there's Martin Luther, there's Karl Marx, there's Mahatma Gandhi, there's Adolf Hitler, there's Roosevelt, there's Stalin, there's Mao Zedong, there's Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa. And there are many other people who had an influence on the history of the world. And there's no question that each of these figures changed the lives of millions and evoked responses ranging from worship to hatred. However, Price claims, it would require much exotic calculation to deny that the single most important and powerful figure, not merely in these two millennia, but in all of human history, the single most powerful figure has been Jesus of Nazareth. Not only is the prevalent system of denoting the years based on the date of his birth, but a serious argument can be made, Price says, that no one else's life has proved remotely as powerful and enduring as that of Jesus. Especially considering the fact that Jesus lived a short life, like what, 32, 33 years? That he lived in a rural district of the Roman Empire, and that he died as a convicted criminal. It is an astonishing accomplishment. Price's next question is, what makes Jesus the kind of figure he is? What made a small group of terrified cowards, and think of the disciples, only one of them stood by, everyone else ran away. What makes a small group of terrified cowards and a few women who had minimal role in Jewish society to be so taken up by this man, Jesus, that they spread the good news of his resurrection to the whole world? Who then was this Jesus? And that is the question that Jesus himself asks his disciples in today's gospel reading. Who do people say that I am? And Jesus did not fare well at that first ever opinion poll. Some thought he was Jeremiah, others thought he was Elijah, some thought one of the prophets. But then the most significant question, who do you say that I am? My dear friends, I want to turn that question around a little bit. This question, who do you say I am, has a different relevance today than it did when Jesus first asked the question. Because in Jesus' time, nobody really knew this man Jesus. But we know. We're here celebrating this Mass. We're here because we believe that Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is the Christ. He is the one who gives us meaning and purpose and eternity. We know that. So the question then is not who Jesus is. As Price has suggested, that is already established. The question is, who do I say I am in relation to Jesus? And today, as a parish community, who do we say we are in relation to Christ? My dear friends, this parish spent most of the day yesterday trying to answer this question. And we came up with our own answer. And the answer is very simple, it's very pedantic, it's something that we've heard before. But the answer that Immaculate Conception Parish is proposing is, we are a community of disciples. Each person in this parish thinks of himself as a disciple. And as I said, it's a simple answer. But it's how we define ourselves that is different. Each one of us is saying, I am a disciple. And a disciple is one who thinks like Christ, talks like Christ, acts like Christ, radically. We are a community of disciples because we strive to think like Christ, to act like Christ, to talk like Christ. We not only proposed this definition, but we also proposed some practical steps in which we will live our discipleship. So the first thing this parish decided that we would do is to understand, what does it mean for us to talk like Jesus and act like Jesus and think like Jesus? Where do we know that from? We know that from the Gospels, particularly the Sermon on the Mount. Look at what St. James says in today's Gospel reading. He says, faith without action is meaningless. If we believe in Christ, then we're going to learn to think and act and talk like Christ. And we know the mind of Christ, the actions of Christ, the thought of Christ, the words of Christ by reading just three chapters in the Gospel. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And so, my dear friends, please go back home. Take this week, or maybe weeks, or maybe a month, and I would like you to read and get to know the mind, the actions, and the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. And when we live what Christ asks us to live there, when we put our faith into action, as James says in today's first reading, then we shall be disciples. And together, community of disciples, radically. The second thing that we said we would do as a parish community is to take our ministries, all of our ministries. Some people are Eucharistic ministers, some people are lectors, some people are servers, some people in the choir, some people are ushers and greeters, and different people do different things. That we would take our ministry and try to understand our ministry in the context of discipleship. So, for example, my ministry that I do is not just a job or a task. It's very participation in the life of Jesus. So each one then who does ministry here is a disciple. So in the coming days, we'll be gathering again in these small groups so that we can understand our ministry as discipleship. And the third point is that we as a community are going to be prepared for the consequences of discipleship. Jesus does not promise great things to his disciples, only the kingdom of God. But to gain the kingdom, a disciple must enter through the narrow gate. For Jesus, the narrow gate meant the cross. He took up the cross. Unless you take the cross, Jesus says in today's gospel reading, you will not enter the kingdom. So, what is the cross for us as individuals and as a community? Our cross means radical living of the call of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Radical living of the call of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Following Jesus radically is tough. If we live as Jesus' disciples, the kingdom is ours. If not, Jesus says, we stand the risk of losing the kingdom. Either way, there is a promise, and a disciple must make his or her choice. My friends, as we come to celebrate this Eucharist, imagine that Jesus is standing right here. When this bread and wine turns into the body and blood of Christ, Jesus will stand right here and he will ask us the question, who do you say you are? Both as individuals and as a community, let us put our unconditional faith in Christ. Let us hear Christ's call to follow him. Let us identify ourselves as radical disciples of Jesus. May the body and blood of Christ bring us the kingdom of God. Amen.